In the small town of Jefferson, Miss Emily Grierson's death brings the entire community to her funeral. Men attend out of obligation to a fallen monument, while women are driven by burning curiosity to finally glimpse inside her sealed Victorian home, a once grand residence now incongruously surrounded by cotton gins and gas stations. For decades, Emily had been a town tradition, burden, and obligation. Her home, like her life, had fallen into decay, developing a mysterious, dank smell that neighbors complained about but never confronted directly. Instead, four men secretly sprinkled lime around her property at night while Emily watched motionless from a window, her upright torso still as that of an idol, a silent observer of her own life's slow deterioration. This image of Emily as both watcher and watched establishes the haunting duality that defines her existence, simultaneously the town's most prominent figure and its most isolated soul. Emily's life had been shaped by absence and control. Her father, a towering figure who dominated her existence, had driven away all potential suitors, believing none were good enough for a Grierson. When he died, Emily refused to acknowledge his passing for 3 days, preventing burial until she finally broke down, an early instance of her inability to accept loss. The town remembered her after this period, emerging with short-cropped hair that gave her a tragically girlish appearance. Colonel Sartoris, the former mayor, had exempted her from taxes following her father's death, inventing a story about the town owing her father money. Years later, when new officials attempted to collect taxes, Emily stubbornly refused, referring them to Colonel Sartoris, who had been dead for nearly a decade. This confrontation revealed Emily as physically transformed, a small, fat woman in black with coal-like eyes set in a bloated face. The years of isolation physically manifested in her appearance. Following her father's death and subsequent illness, Emily experienced a rare opportunity for connection when Homer Barron arrived in town. A northern construction foreman overseeing sidewalk paving, Homer represented everything her father would have rejected, a Yankee day laborer with no distinguished lineage. Their Sunday drives in his yellow-wheeled buggy became a spectacle for townspeople, who watched with evolving reactions, first glad she had found interest, then concerned about her association with someone beneath her station. Despite whispers of poor Emily behind cupped hands, she maintained her dignity, walking with head high as if demanding the respect her family name once commanded automatically. This brief rebellion against the constraints that had defined her life seemed to offer Emily a chance at happiness, however unconventional. During her courtship with Homer, Emily visits the druggist's shop and demands arsenic for rats. When questioned, she simply stares down the druggist until he complies, packaging the poison with the skull and crossbone symbol. This transaction demonstrates her determination and the influence her family name still carries. The townspeople initially suspect suicide, then shift their expectations as her relationship with Homer develops. When Homer briefly leaves town and returns, he's last seen entering Emily's home at dusk, after which he vanishes completely. Emily changes physically, growing heavier, with iron gray hair, and becomes increasingly isolated. Following Homer's disappearance, Emily withdraws from society, refusing postal service and sealing off the top floor of her house. She briefly teaches china painting to local children before shutting her door permanently, becoming a mysterious figure occasionally glimpsed through windows, dear, inescapable, impervious, tranquil, and perverse until her death. Her loyal servant, the only person to enter her home for years, disappears immediately after the funeral, avoiding inevitable questioning. After Emily's burial, townspeople force open an upstairs room that had remained locked for 40 years. Inside, they discover a preserved bridal chamber with rose-tinted lights and wedding gifts. On the bed lies Homer's decomposed body, and beside him on the pillow, an indentation and a long strand of iron-gray hair, evidence that Emily had been sleeping with the corpse for decades. Emily serves as both an individual character and a powerful symbol of the post-Civil War South. Her resistance to change, refusing to pay taxes, refusing to have a mailbox installed, refusing to acknowledge death, mirrors the South's reluctance to abandon its traditions and adapt to a changing world. Her house, once elegant but now an eyesore among eyesores, represents the decaying grandeur of the Old South surrounded by encroaching industrialization. The townspeople's complex relationship with Emily reflects this tension between past and present. They simultaneously respect her as a monument to their history and resent her as a burden they must carry. When they attend her funeral, the old men wear Confederate uniforms and speak of her as if they had danced with her, confusing her with long-dead women of their youth. Even Emily's murder of Homer can be read symbolically. He represents everything the traditional South opposed: northern, industrial, possibly homosexual, with no interest in permanent attachment. By killing and preserving him, Emily attempts to freeze time itself. Though a rose never physically appears in the story, the title suggests a complex offering, perhaps of sympathy, respect, or forgiveness from Faulkner to his tragic protagonist. The rose symbolizes both beauty and decay, love and death, much like Emily herself. Once beautiful and full of potential, she withers in isolation, preserved like a dried flower long after her prime. The bridal room where Homer's body is discovered contains rose-tinted lights, creating a grotesque parody of romance. This setting transforms what should be a space of love into one of death and decay. The rose might also represent the South itself, once beautiful and vibrant, now preserved only in memory and decaying traditions. Like carefully maintained gardens of antebellum mansions, the Old South's grandeur became artificial and forced. What happens when we refuse to let go? Emily's story remains relevant today as a powerful warning about the dangers of isolation and our collective responsibility to those suffering in silence. Her psychological deterioration provides a haunting study of thwarted development. Her father's domineering presence denied her normal social interactions, leaving her ill-equipped for relationships after his death. Unable to process loss in healthy ways, she resorts to physical preservation of what she cannot emotionally release. The strand of iron-gray hair found beside Homer's body delivers the story's most chilling revelation. Not only did Emily kill Homer, but she continued sleeping beside his decomposing body for decades. The town's complicity in her isolation cannot be overlooked. Rather than intervening when they suspected something wrong, they chose to watch from a distance, making Emily an object of speculation rather than a community member needing help. In our increasingly isolated modern world, Emily's extreme response to loneliness serves as a grotesque but relevant warning about the psychological toll of disconnection from community. Her house, like many modern homes, became both fortress and prison, protecting her from society while cutting her off from human connection.